podcast. Uh-huh. And we bring it to you. Every time we turn live, man, you know it's the truth. Every after show, move it down. It's the time we move around. No gimmicks podcast is going down. Every night, every time in the ring. This is time for no gimmicks. No, we doing our thing. What's your state of mind? State of mind. Moving down a statement when we take the line. This is exactly wrestling the state design. When you see Stone Cold like me, with the stunner in the world, exactly, man, what we bring. Every night we move like Brock Lesnar. The F5, no gimmicks. We take you to your limit. What's the feeling? When we live in the air, you know we on. That's the time. Guarantee we move. You know how we respond. The state design. The state design when we feel it.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the No Gimmicks Podcast here on the DFPN. This is your boy, Frankie the Chosen One, the Black Mac. And what you just heard, if you're listening to us right now on Patreon or watching on Patreon, and if you're not, you should be doing that. $3 a month will get you unlimited access to the archives of the DFPN. We just saw the trailer for Star Wars The Acolyte, which is going to be the new Star Wars show coming to Disney Plus on June 4th. Now, I saw the trailer previously earlier today when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Black Mac had not seen it. So I said, hey, listen, I got an idea. Why don't we react to the trailer right here on the podcast? And I want your thoughts. And, sir, the floor is yours. Because I am going to go in a few minutes, but I want you to take the floor now, you know, and let the listeners out there know what you think.
I don't know what to think, man. Like I said, I don't know what to expect from this show. And what I'm hoping right now is this isn't another Book of Boba Fett situation. Because this is what, on the surface, this is what it looks like. We are going to get a story that's supposed to go one way and it's going to go a completely different way. And I'm probably not going to enjoy it. But I'm always the positive one. I'm going to reserve my thoughts for watching the show because I was excited about The Acolyte. This trailer has me a bit confused. I am a bit confused by watching this trailer. However, I was confused watching Obi-Wan's trailer, ended up liking the show. Ahsoka's trailer, was a bit confused by that one, although we kind of knew what that story was. I was just hoping and praying that they went about it in a decent way. They did. They gave me that. I'm going to do the same with this one. I'm going to hold out my judgment until this show comes out, and I'm going to give it two episodes because I always, Boba Fett, I gave every show that came out since then, I give you two episodes. If you can't grasp me in two episodes, I'm not watching the show no more. So my standing rule. That is my standing rule. If you don't grasp me within two shows, I'm out. So you got two episodes, Acolyte. Please don't mess this up for me. Please. And now I yield. I give you the four.
So here's the thing. When I watched the trailer, and I've watched it a couple of times today, it just doesn't feel like Star Wars to me. There's something off about it. Like, it don't feel like Star Wars. There's way too many humans on the show for my liking. Star Wars has always been humans, aliens, all different sorts of creatures all wrapped up in one. I mean, look at the Katana, you know what I mean?
Right.
It don't feel like Star Wars.
And this is why I say, based on the trailer, I'm confused.
Well, so the thing about this trailer is that I saw this trailer like last year because it leaked out. Mm. So I already saw this trailer. I already knew Carrie-Anne Moss from The Matrix was going to be in it. And there's rumors that Keanu Reeves at some point might be in the show. He may be Darth Revan. That's rumor is what it is. Not sure if that's going to happen or not. But I don't know. I mean, You know, I would normally give something a chance, but I'm just not a fan of the showrunner, Leslie Headman. I am not a fan of her at all. She said a lot of disrespectful things about George Lucas. She's done a lot of, I would call, questionable things in relation to her former boss, Harvey Weinstein, who is, I believe, serving a life sentence or lengthy prison sentence for the assault of women. I'll put it like that. You want to look read about it, you can Google it. So I am not a fan of her at all. And I feel that this show is going to be a disaster. It's going to be another Disney Star Wars disaster. So I'm just not feeling it at all at the moment. And I believe we have lost Mr. Black. Are you back?
I thought we lost you. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. So I'm just not feeling it at the moment. I'm like you. I will probably watch episode one, episode two. If it doesn't grab me at that point, I'm not gonna watch it. That's just how it's gonna be. I'm a Star Wars fanatic, as you can clearly see. Okay. And this is not a thing of a like, oh, I'm gonna hate on something to hate on it. No, it's not about that. Right. What it comes down to is I want a good story. And I want something that it can be brand new, but at the same time, I want it to be familiar. The only thing about this show that's familiar that I get from it is Jedi and lightsabers. That's what I get from it. I don't see anything else about this show that says, okay, this is like must-watch television. I have to see this. When Obi-Wan Kenobi launched, okay, when that trailer first launched, didn't really show you too much. They didn't really, didn't even show Vader.
Right.
They showed just Obi-Wan. They showed Tatooine. That's what they showed. You didn't see Vader. You heard Vader's breathing. And it was, you know, they played Duel of the Fates and all that. And they got you in there. That's what the trailer was.
Right.
And then when you watched the show, the story went into a completely different direction. Now, some people like the show. Majority didn't like the show, and that's the reason why Disney has not picked up season two for this show, and it probably won't because of the amount of backlash that it got. One of the good things about the show was you got to see the return of Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, basically coming back to reprise the roles. You also had Jimmy Smits come back as well as Bail Organa, and then you had Ian McDiarmid, you know, reprise the role of Palpatine at the end there. Obi-Wan Kenobi was a missed opportunity. And the same thing goes with Ahsoka. Ahsoka, for the most part, I enjoyed Ahsoka. I enjoyed Ahsoka for you know, Ray Stevens' Baylan Skull character. I thought that was a very good character. Right. And Shin Hattie is another good character. And I love the cameo with Hayden Christensen coming back. Hey, Shadow Warrior, episode 5, is my favorite episode.
One of the best episodes they've done of any show.
Absolutely.
On Disney Plus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I put Shadow Warrior, episode 5 of Ahsoka, episode 3 of Obi-Wan Kenobi, when you see Hayden and as Darth Vader, when he has the suit on and all that. Those are some of the best moments in Star Wars as far as Disney Plus Star Wars. They completely dropped the ball with The Mandalorian in season 3. I think there's a lot of creative difficulties going on there. There's a lot of shit going on right now because of the whole Disney, the proxy war going on right now. So, you know, George Lucas came out and publicly backed Bob Iger for the Disney board, which you're like, Disney, George Lucas called Disney at one point the white slavers. And then all of a sudden now you are backing Bob Iger. And you're saying, I quote, amateurs can't make magic. It doesn't even sound like some shit that George Lucas would even say. So I'm kind of wondering, what did George Lucas get in return for coming out with these comments? I mean, are they trying to give him some of his legacy back here that they've destroyed? His characters that they have destroyed? The assassination of one Luke Skywalker that they're trying to redeem coming up with the Mandalorian and Grogu and other projects that are in the I'll tell you off air, I can't talk about, but there's a lot of shit going on that I'm privy to. So here's the thing. When it comes to the Acolyte, it's divisive once again. You're always going to have divisiveness because a part of the fan base is going to like what you do. The other part is not going to like. But when you have a whole collective here of people saying the same thing, now I'll tell you something. And people are trashing the Acolyte. They're trashing it. They've been trashing it. It's just going to be another Disney Star Wars disaster, unfortunately.
Here's what I will say about that. Me as a fan, I can't trash something if I haven't seen it. That's just me as a person. I'm not going to trash it because the show could actually end up being good. The trailer itself doesn't give me enough to bite on, though. I will be honest about that. I don't feel excited about watching it because I get Boba Fett vibes out of this trailer. It's interesting, right? But again, there's not enough there for me to be like, I'm going to trash the show because I haven't seen it. So, I will give you the benefit of the doubt, but you got two episodes of me.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Boba Fett. You know, they could have done so much with Boba Fett when you know, they launched the Boba Fett show. It had a lot of promise, and there was nothing memorable that happened on that show until Din Djarin showed up, or until Luke Skywalker and Grogu showed up, and that just... Now, and Boba Fett is a kick-ass character, man. It's like, you know, how can you screw that up? You know what I'm saying?
One of the better characters in the original.
Absolutely. And how do you screw that up, though? So, and they accomplished that, you know? So, I don't know, man. It's just, I agree with you. You can't really judge something until you watch it. So, listen, I will, you know, against my better judgment, because I don't like the showrunner, and I don't like a lot of stuff that the cast have said, because it had nothing to do with Star Wars. It was all about an agenda that they were talking about. They're all, you know, the first woman to do this, the first woman to do that, and you know, blah, 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 blah. Listen, people need to stop with this whole first woman to do anything in Star Wars. Marsha Lucas already done it. Marsha Lucas created one of the best moments in Star Wars history. She was the one who said, kill Obi-Wan Kenobi. Have Vader kill Obi-Wan. That was Marsha Lucas, George Lucas' ex-wife. So it's already been done. She did a hell of a... Just look up Marsha Lucas on YouTube. They did an interview with her recently. And just all the stuff that she did, how she edited Star Wars. George Lucas created, yes, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, all these characters. He created them, yes. But his wife and other people helped to make that dream into a reality, and she did tireless work editing that film, coming up with story ideas. When George was stuck on some things, she came in there and she did it. She says, why not just kill Obi-Wan? That's what she said, and that's one of the moments that people remember, is when Vader finally kills his master. And that's you know, that was her, and she did work on the Empire Strikes Back. So when people say, oh, I'm the first to do this, first to do that, first of all, you are not the first to do anything, and it shouldn't even be about that. That's my whole point that I'm trying to make here. It shouldn't be about that. It should be, I'm doing Star Wars. I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. I can't wait to do this project. I can't wait to tell a story in a galaxy far, far away. That's what it should be about. Not, oh, I'm the first, you know, African-American to direct a Star Wars film. Or I'm the first woman to do this. Or I'm the first guy to do it. It shouldn't be about that, man. And that's my whole point.
I get that. I get where you're coming from with that. I really do. We should be having debates about Sith. You know what I mean? Who's the best Sith?
Who's the best Jedi? That's what we should be getting to. But I already know what you're getting at. But brother, you gotta get the plugs out the way before we
go on the show, because we haven't even done that. But yeah, man, shout out to Khan's Custom Creations. Follow her on IG at Khan's_Custom Creations or on Facebook by searching Khan's Custom Creations. Shout out to everybody. The Queens are actually finishing up a show right now. So shout out to the Queens of Nerdom. They're outside the paywall. We're inside the paywall. So shout out to them. They got an episode. Should be wrapped up by now. If it's not, then it's very close to being wrapped up. But shout out to them. But to see us, come to the pay window, patreon.com/thatfeelingpodcast. $3 will get you watching this show live and interacting. Then shout out to the Dat Felon family. Bandcamp, datfelon.bandcamp.com. Go there. Same deal, $3 will get you the entire Dat Felon catalog. Welcome to the show. We started out with a great monologue. A great, great monologue. But getting into the show, we were talking about Jedi. We were talking about, let's open this up, man. Speaking of Sith, Cody Rhodes is making the turn. He is making the turn. For those who don't know what we're talking about, last night, he went on Raw. He cut a scathing promo of The Rock, used a few choice words on live television. But that's not even what appealed to me. What appealed to me immediately, and let me know your thoughts on this one too, is how he was dressed last night. Normally, Cody Rhodes is in a light-colored suit, something that it isn't menacing. It doesn't make him look too a-hole-ish. You know what I mean? Like, he keeps it light, kind of light bluish gray. He's somewhere around that area. You know what I mean? Every time he comes out, cuts promos if he's not in his ring gear. But last night, it was black suit, red tie. And if you noticed, the hair is starting to change a little color. It's not all blonde. It's a little streaky now. So Cody is making the turn, my guy.
Well, as I have been saying on this podcast for months about Cody Rhodes, and I have been saying it and saying it and saying it. I know people listen to this show and they say, well, goddamn, what are you talking about? What is Star Wars? Listen, Cody is a Star Wars fanatic like I am. So he is telling the story here that he wanted to tell in AEW. This is what we're seeing here. Okay.
Yep.
Cody Rhodes last night on Raw. Okay. Cut that promo. Very scathing promo. It's something that Cody hasn't done in a while, because Cody usually goes out there and does his promos and uses a lot of big words that the audience, you know, don't know what they mean. And yep. That's fine. Yep. Shows his education. That's great. But he has a very Hayden Christensen, Anakin Skywalker tone to his monologue when he's out there speaking. I noticed that a while ago.
Yep.
Last night on Raw, he cuts his promo on The Rock, which is basically a receipt from what The Rock said to him on SmackDown. Now, Cody was wearing the black suit. He was wearing the burgundy tie he had on. And the background in the arena, if anybody noticed, it was dark. They cut, yep. They turned the lights down for Cody, yep, to talk. I noticed this. And it was just a very different environment here. And the
feel was different.
Correct. The aura, everything was different. And then the emotion in his voice, the conviction of the way he was speaking, the anger in which he was speaking, the fire in which he was speaking. I was like, you know what? Cody is believing this shit. He is going with this. And the way he put over Seth Rollins last night, the way he basically called out The Rock for all the backstage stuff and the TKO board and all that. They're basically blurring the lines here. The fourth wall is being broken. Here's the thing. It's going to be oh so sweet at WrestleMania when Cody makes that turn to the dark side. When Cody Rhodes has to do the unthinkable to finish the story. The unthinkable is, I am going to have to sell my soul to the devil, sell my soul to the emperor, sell my soul to the final boss, which is The Rock, to become the new undisputed Universal Champion, which, in my opinion, will end Roman's reign.
Yep.
And if you noticed last night as well, the wise man came out there and he says, you and I have a lot in common, more than we'll be conflict about. That's very telling to me, because he's basically telling you here, they're putting little seeds out there. Something is going to happen at WrestleMania. Something is going to be tragic for somebody, and it's not going to be tragic for Cody Rhodes. It's going to be tragic for Roman Reigns. It's going to be tragic for Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins has come out there in defense of Cody, saying, I will be your shield. You couldn't get the job done last year on your own. The bloodline screws you. I'm here to protect you. Fine. My tag team partner, I respect him. He's a world heavyweight champion. He's carrying this company on his back.
Yep.
You should respect him. It's going to be oh so sweet when Cody turns. If they do return, I don't want to see Seth Rollins turn. That'd be too obvious.
I don't think he is.
Cody is going to be the one, because they're growing. They're putting sympathy on Seth Rollins. So when it happens,
it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt badly when it happens.
It's gonna hurt.
Seth is gonna be like, dude, I put myself out there for you, and you're with this guy. And then Roman's going to look stupid because, like, what the hell happened? The bloodline taken from him. Solo, gone. Jimmy, gone. The wise man, gone.
Here,
Roman's redemption will begin, because now Roman is going to have to partner up with Seth Rollins. He's going to have to re-partner up with his cousin Jay. He's going to probably have to re-partner up with Sami Zayn to fight this new faction. The new galactic bloodline, pretty much.
Here is where I think this will go. I'm pretty sure Cody's turning. And if you look at this, the last week or the last 2 weeks, The Rock says something about Cody's mom. Right? Cody says something about his mom. The moment for me in the Star Wars saga where you see Anakin kind of turn is when his mom died. This comes out. We're seeing it now with him. We're seeing that right now. We got this promo. It was scathing. And that was in part because of his mother. I think something has to happen to where I think that tag match is going to lead us into a direction that we know what's going to happen on night two, because Cody is going to be filled with hate coming into night two. And I think that is where, because Paul Heyman has been the linchpin in this the whole time. Honestly, I thought Paul Heyman was the emperor at one point, which I'm still kind of on that, but The Rock is the power piece here. He's the final boss. So I'm leaning more Rock emperor. But the guy who's been the constant, who's been in Cody's ear this entire time, he's had problems with the bloodline. He's always been that guy to come out and give Cody the understanding, right? Anytime he's had an issue, before he goes up against any member of the bloodline, or especially Roman, it's always been Paul Heyman and Cody. You rarely seen exchanges between Cody and Roman. You'll get one this Friday. But other than that, those are very rare. The guy he's interacting with the most is Paul Heyman. Paul, for me, is the emperor in this situation, because that's what Palpatine was to Anakin. He was in the middle of all the hate and whatever else was going on. He had his ear and he was able to mold him into what he wanted him to be, which is the most powerful Sith Lord. And I think that's what's going on here. But The Rock coming in kind of fucked everything up for me, man. It's like, you know who the guy is. You know who he is. He's on his super heel shit. But he is the final boss. Maybe he is the emperor. Maybe that is the guy that takes Cody and flips him to the dark side. And with that being said, with The Rock acknowledging Roman as his tribal chief, because he is the high chief, he can do that. He set Roman up for the fall. So come WrestleMania, the turn is in play.
And once again, we're just fantasy booking right now.
Yep.
We're just speculating on what we think is going to happen. I think that most likely that's the way that this is going to go down, because it just is so reminiscent.
It's there.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
In 2001, when he had everything up against him, and he was going into that match with The Rock for the WWF Championship at WrestleMania 17. And he said, I need to beat you.
That's the only thing Cody hasn't said yet.
Yeah, I need to beat you.
I need to beat you
more than you know for that championship, with all due respect, is what he said.
Right.
And then Mr. McMahon comes out at the end, and the heel turn happens. Same thing here with Cody. And The Rock said it'll be bloodline rules, or, you know,
fact that that's in play right now.
Correct.
It's like, it's coming. Something's coming.
Right. And setting that stipulation, which I believe that stipulation will be in play, somebody who's not a part of the bloodline that we know about will interfere in that match at WrestleMania. And I believe that it could be two people. It could be either Jacob Fatu, or it could be Tama Tonga.
I believe both.
Yeah, I believe those are the two people, and they're not going to – Roman sees them. He's going to assume that they are there to assist him. They're not there to assist him. They are there to assist Cody. They were sent by the Emperor, The Rock. The wise man knows all about it. And I could very well see a situation where Roman is asking the wise man to give him the belt, and the wise man does give him the championship.
Yep.
And you look like, what the hell? What's going on here? Like, what is going on here? He don't give it to him. Cody sinks up behind and gives him, you know, gives him whatever kind of move he wants to do. And then he gets the belt from the wise. The wise man gives the belt to Cody. Cody finishes the story, but Cody does it in a manner not becoming of the American Nightmare. He does it like how I would say Hollywood Hogan won the title from the Giant. He hit him in the damn head with the belt.
Yep.
That wasn't becoming of Hollywood Hogan, but that's how he did it. Same thing's going to happen here. So, point being, WWE has the opportunity here, not on the same level, of course, but they have the opportunity here to do something special, to do something spectacular, to almost do a Hogan 96 heel turn if they do it correctly. And they can turn Cody Rhodes from the biggest babyface into the biggest heel in the
country. Oh, man. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine. That's what I'm saying. I can't imagine because it's going to hurt so bad.
That Monday morning after that is done. Oh, man.
It's going to hurt so bad. And it's like you see Cody, and he has the wise man. The wise man will be the one to introduce the new Universal Champion. Because here's the deal. They're going to have somebody in play to be the heel, because The Rock is going to go away. The Rock has commitments, so he's going to leave. You got to have somebody there that's going to be there to – I got The Rock – the Emperor, I got the final boss on speed dial. That's the wise man, and that's Cody. This also opens up Roman's redemption. Roman can disappear for a little while. He don't have to be there. Roman can disappear for a little while after WrestleMania after the betrayal of the Bloodline. He could disappear, and that leaves Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins now to feud, because now Rollins wants revenge against Cody Rhodes, but you're going to have to go through the Galactic Bloodline in to order get, to get to me.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to have. That's the way it's going to go. So I see that happening. I also kind of, at this point, I could see Seth Rollins actually dropping the world title to Drew McIntyre. Although, I don't know if that's going to happen now that CM Punk is going to be at WrestleMania. So Punk might cost McIntyre the match. I mean, Punk doesn't have any, Punk don't have any love for either one of them.
No, he don't.
But it would make sense if you want to push the Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins match. Seth Rollins can drop the world title, and now he can feud with Cody for the WWE
Universal title. Right. Because, yeah, betrayal, immediate get back. I like that better than, and I like Seth dropping it to Drew, because that opens up that title for fresh opportunities too.
But I also foresee Drew McIntyre being a part also of this faction.
Ooh.
Because it would make perfect sense to me to put Drew McIntyre in there, because The Rock said, I'm going to make sure that title goes away. So I could see Paul Heyman potentially also managing Drew McIntyre at this point as well. Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre.
I like it.
Have both champions in the same faction. That's the Super Galactic faction. They control all the main titles in the WWE. It's this group. So that's the direction I would go into. But once again, like I said
before, I like it.
We are fantasy booking here. This is just creativity coming off the top of our heads. And this is what we do here on No Gimmicks. And I, you know, people out there say, you know, one podcast in particular, oh, you know, you got the Mark Podcasters. Well, you know what? The Mark Podcasters actually have better creativity and ideas than you do. So I'll keep it at that.
All right. But let's stay on this note, because I do want to go back to that promo, and then kind of the results of that promo that Cody cut, right? Scathing promo, like we said, use choice words. The Rock cut a promo outside of the WWE and then kind of cut that same promo later on that night. But it led many to believe, especially after Monday, that we are now exiting the PG era. And that's what I want to talk about. Is the PG era really dead? I don't think so. I just think there's a lot more creative liberty being taken, but I do think the PG era is still here. I don't think we're out of that yet. What about you?
What makes you think that it's over? Just because they give leeway to say, Cody, go out here and say this. First of all, they can get away with a lot more on the USA Network than they can on Fox, on broadcast.
That is very true.
They are really going to be able to get away with a lot more stuff once Raw goes to Netflix. Keep that in mind.
I will say it's dead, yeah.
But you can't kill the PG era, because the sponsorship that they have with Mattel and all these different brands. So you can't kill it, but you can do certain things, because you can do the Attitude Era, but you don't have to have all the stuff that went with the Attitude Era. What I mean is, you don't have to have all the degrading shit with the women and all the stuff that just was stupid then, and it's stupid now. You don't have to have all that stuff. But if you want to come out there and cut a promo and say, okay, well, I'm going to kick your ass, and you're a bitch, and blah, 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 you can do that stuff. Because that people can relate to that. I don't see the relation. I never saw the relation of, let's say, a woman having a miscarriage or Mae Young in the hand. I never got the appeal of how many tickets is that going to sell? How many people is that going to draw in? See, there's a lot of stuff in the Attitude Era that I did not like. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff in the Ruthless Aggression Era I didn't like either.
But the person
that was doing a lot of that, you know, perverted shit, he ain't around anymore. So they can do a lot more stuff here. And you can do something like Cody did or like The Rock does, and it can be tasteful. It can be entertaining. It can be funny. Right.
You can be edgy without being distasteful.
Edgy without being, exactly. Edgy without being distasteful. Edgy without being degrading. That's what we're getting at here. So is PG era dead? No, it's never going to be dead. It's never going to be dead. They would be stupid for the PG era to be dead. They're bringing in a huge variety of a different breed of audience now. It's catered more towards children, but you know they're trying to get those males. You know that demographic that they're going for. Yeah. They're trying to pull those numbers. They're trying to get you know more sponsors. They actually have I believe they have a vodka sponsor now, sponsorship that they have right now. So they got a lot of stuff going on. They're trying to mature the audience a lot more, I believe. I think eventually they're going to phase now, but it's not going to be right now. No, they're not going to do it right now. But I think when we'll know more once we see that first episode of Raw, when Raw goes to Netflix, that's when we can say, okay, this is the direction that they're going to go to because they don't have the handcuffs anymore.
Right. Right.
With Netflix. And right. that goes to with Fox, they have so many handcuffs because Fox, you know, and this is the same network, by the way, that, you know, they want to censor everything that The Rock says or they want to bleep out signs or whatever the situation may be. But this is the same network that had a show called Temptation Island, which they basically, you know, it was a very sexual oriented show and they would,
oh,
you know,
most definitely
to, you know, cheat on your spouse and all this other bullshit. They were cool with all of that, but you can't say this on wrestling and it makes no sense. So I, for one, cannot wait for them to be off of Fox and go to USA Network. I don't think they're going to be restricted because last night they didn't restrict anything.
No, they didn't.
The only problem that I saw last night with that promo, it was that Thunderdome. That Thunderdome is killing everything. That artificial sound is crap. You can tell it is not.
Stop amplifying the reaction.
Yeah. You can tell. It was Cody was speaking, but they had the sound up so loud that at some point you could even barely hear what the guy was saying.
Right.
Because that's how loud the Thunderdome was.
Right. They amplify the reactions. I don't know, because they do a mixture sometimes. Sometimes it's a track and sometimes it's the actual audience, but they have the sound of the audience amplified through the television, if that makes sense.
I get what you're saying, but this here is a track. It's an audio track. It's definitely an audio track.
Right. Right.
I'm hearing the same looping sound is what I'm hearing here. So they need to stop doing that. The only genuine reaction they got is when Paul Heyman came out there and he did his, you know, his usual shit. They got that going.
Right. But
they need to stop with the crowd sound. You don't have to do that, man. If the audience is there and they're engaging,
let them feel it.
Let them feel it. The audience. You don't have to do that. That part of it took me out of it, to be honest.
Right. Right. I agree with that. I agree with that. Just let them react. Give them the time to catch on. Because, and AEW is the same way. Like, you got to give them time to catch on. Like, they ain't going to catch everything, and that's fine. But AEW does a really good job of just letting it be. You know what I'm saying? Like, the audience is the audience. They're going to react when they want to react, and we'll respect that. So just respect that. I definitely agree with that. But speaking on this, once they move to Netflix, right, I know everybody's on this ratings kick. Once WWE moves to Netflix, for me, I don't think the ratings matter that much as a whole anymore. So do we need to look at the rating system? Because what does a rating look like on Netflix for Monday Night Raw?
So
how do you gouge that? Because Netflix is in over 240 million homes, man. right? That's how many subscribers they have. So how do you gauge? What are you going to put a number on? So the people that log into Netflix, are you going to put a number on the people that actually click on that show? What if somebody clicks on that shit by accident? Is that a watch? Do we need to change the rating system?
So the way that would be calculated is by watch hours is how it's done, because that's how they do all the streaming shows. So they'll show you how many, you know, was something to launch. Say a Disney Plus show launches, or it's a movie or something like that. So they'll actually go in there and they will calculate the watch time hours. So okay, it'll go by how many hours people watched Monday Night Raw. That's the way they do the viewership. It's completely different from the Nielsen.
Right.
So they have a way of doing that. But I don't think the ratings will be as important anymore, because you only have two shows that are on a Nielsen, you know, network, which would be NXT and SmackDown.
Right.
That would be it. Raw going over here. I mean, you know, honestly, dude, I'm going to just put it like this, okay? A lot of the metrics WWE doesn't even use anymore, really. They haven't used a pay-per-view metric for a long time, since everything is on the WWE network.
Correct.
So that doesn't matter. The only people that are really concerned with ratings at this point are just people who are trying to make content. That's pretty much it. And I mean, I follow the ratings. I follow the ratings. I think the ratings are important, because it gives you insight on what the fans are watching. It gives you insight on what segments they like and what segments they don't like.
Right.
That shows right there, okay, we had, let's just say, we had, you know, wrestler A and wrestler B, and they, this segment here, oh my God, this segment here in the first quarter, that drew over 2 million viewers. Then we had this tag team match, and oh damn, we lost like 700,000 people. What happened? That's how you gauge, you know, this situation.
Right.
So but I think that's important for that.
Right. That's where my thinking comes in the Raw, right? Because what if you have a segment that isn't good, that probably doesn't get a lot of views by a lot of people, but we're going by watch hours? Because at that point, you've already watched a significant portion of the program. You know what I'm saying? Where do they gauge that segment wasn't good and they lost viewers? Where does that number fall?
I believe they would have a way of telling if people stop watching the show.
Right.
But you bring up a good point here. I wholeheartedly understand what you're saying. It's just, but they have a way of doing data. This is the reason why Netflix can come and say, okay, we're canceling this show, we're canceling that show,
right,
we're not doing this, we're not doing that. They know. They're in a business. They created right. the streaming model. So they know what they're doing there. And this is the reason why I know, like with Disney Plus, this is the reason why you're never gonna see another She-Hulk season or any of that other shit that they do, because it didn't draw. That's what True. It is. They True. Know. You know what I'm saying? So but at this point, yeah, people don't really care about ratings. Listen, even though AEW Dynamite gets their core audience base is going to be about 800,000 people, a little over that, maybe 900,000 tops is what they're going to draw. I guess the Warner Network is so happy with that. That number is low to us because we're used to how wrestling used to be with the ratings numbers. We know how wrestling right, was, correct, you correct. Know, 20 years ago or whatever, what the ratings were in the sixes and the fives, the fours, the threes. We know what it was. And now we have, you know, they say, well, it's a good time to be a wrestling fan, but, you know, only, you know, 2 million people are watching SmackDown a week, or, you know, 1 point something are watching Raw. And then you have 900,000 watching AEW. That's just, and there's different factors of why that's happening. Is the wrestling audience smaller? Absolutely. It's a lot smaller than what it was. But also, is there a lot of people that don't have cable anymore? That also plays a factor into this situation. And that's why WWE knew. See, WWE is ahead of the curve here, because they know that Netflix has all these hundreds of millions of subscribers. They right. know this. So they already know, listen, this is a much better deal for us because we don't have the FCC breathing down our necks when we're on
Correct.
Netflix streaming. We can do whatever, pretty much whatever we want on that show. It can truly be Raw if we want it to be Raw. That's the difference here. So it's, they knew, and
there's so much upside for them on that.
Absolutely, and they know eventually they're gonna probably SmackDown will probably move to a streaming at one point. And had the WWE Network been more successful, had it been able to sustain itself without being basically leased out to Peacock, that probably would have been where they would have went. If they would have had enough, you know, a backer behind it, they would have probably moved all their shows to the WWE Network streaming. And you have to stream, you have to have a membership to our streaming service.
Yeah.
In order to watch our shows.
I think the WWE Network was ahead of its time. If it drops today, it's massively successful.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, but they have a lot of problems with the network, you know, the lack of classic content being uploaded to the WWE Network. They're not really doing it anymore, and it hurts. And you know why they're not doing it? It's because, number one, you know, they're saying basically that they, once again, they go by the watch hours. A lot of people, I guess, are not watching the classic content, which is a bunch of BS, because a lot of people were watching the classic content. WWE is always putting up classic content.
Well, they removed I think the music and the dubbing and all that shit had a lot to do with it. There was a lot of complaints about that.
Well, it was. It was a lot of complaints about the dubbing. I for one was, you know, one of them that was complaining. But at the same time, what it came down to is the pandemic hurt a lot of shit, because a lot of the they had a whole staff over there that was specifically for the WWE Network, and they were going there, and they were the ones responsible for dubbing the music and blurring and editing videos and all that shit. So they cut the whole team pretty much. And I only think they had down to like maybe one or two people. Right. And they don't have enough people anymore that's going to go through all this archive footage. It's already digitized. I mean, it's ready to go. But they stopped at certain seasons. You know, we're still on WCW Saturday Night. We haven't even gone into, you know, we're not even there yet in 94. You know, this is where we're at here, you know. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. So that's one of the things that hurts WWE Network. But I will agree that if they were to launch it again on its own as a single service, I think it would be more successful now, because the brand is hot. WWE released WWE Network at a point in time where the brand just wasn't hot anymore. But now the brand is hot. Now they're selling out everywhere they go. If they were to come out with it now, oh, hell yeah. And, the fan base internationally, the fan base has grown. So, yes, you would have a huge, you know, population of people that are going to watch and support that endeavor. Not now, because it's, of course, in here in the United States, it's Peacock, and all over the other, jurisdictions as well, I believe it's going to Peacock. So that's where we're at. But, you know, that contract is up in 2026, so we'll see where it goes. A lot of people are speculating that it's going to land on Netflix, possibly. I think it stays with NBC Universal, personally.
I would like to see it all uniform. So if it moves to Netflix, I would like that, because I think they're already moving like the A&E documentaries. They're moving those over to Netflix as well. So I would like to see it a little more uniform. Like, if you're going to have it on Netflix, put it all on Netflix.
The problem with that is it takes a lot of bandwidth.
That is true.
Have a service here, and Peacock already has that infrastructure already there. Netflix does as well, but look how long it took. It took months for them to upload all the files from WWE Network to Peacock. Okay, then they went through changing a lot of stuff, whatever. So it's just, it takes time. It's a lot of bandwidth. It's a lot of money, and it's like, you know, we already have this built in over here on Peacock. We already have it here. We have a good relationship with NBC Universal. And are you going to give us more money, or are we going to keep it at the same rate that we're getting? Okay, we'll just keep it here. It works out for both parties. Because at this point, Netflix, they have an opt-in, opt-out clause, I believe, on the contract with WWE.
Right. It's show and prove with Netflix.
Right. So we'll keep it where it's at right now. That's what I would do. You know, we'll keep where it's at. Move. We'll see how this relationship goes with Netflix. See if everybody's comfortable with each other. See if we're compatible. And then after that, maybe we'll talk about it. They sign another deal with Peacock, with Universal. You know, we'll say, hey, listen, let's talk in 2032 about moving it over. You know what I'm saying? We'll see how it goes then. But right now, I think it's going to stay where it's at.
Okay. I would agree with that, too. I'm not against that. So... Let's move over to AEW and something I wanted to talk about too. And I know we had offline conversation about this one. And that is the fumbling of Wardlow. This guy, and I don't know if we talked about this on the show last week, but we both knew him versus Samoa Joe was a big deal. It was, for him, a big deal. He needed to look strong in that match and got choked out. No struggle, just out. And Wardlow's the guy, they built him up. This is the third time they built him up, in which this time I was reluctant, but I was like, damn, he got me. And then now I'm like, what are they doing with this guy, man? What are they not seeing? And this is the third talent to me in AEW that I don't know what they're missing, because you had Ricky Starks, who should be a massive star by now. You have Powerhouse Hobbs, who should be a massive star right now. And you have Wardlow, who should be the model for what a modern champion looks like right now. Yet he's not. What are they missing? Why are they fumbling this guy?
You know, I honestly believe that Wardlow was going to be the second coming of Batista.
Yes.
That's how hot he was at one point. And I was saying, you know, what's wrong with Wardlow? I was like, well, number one, I don't like his music. That was the first thing. Second thing was, I said, the guy needs some pyrotechnics in his entrance. Those are the two things he's missing. And I mean, but he had a connection with the fans. He was over. You know what I mean? The guy had it, you know, with that feud that he had with MJF, and coming out of that, you know, he was on his way to becoming a superstar. And then he lost his way for some reason. The booking became atrocious. I mean, he was over with the Powerbomb Symphony, and then something happened here. I don't get it. And then, you know, now he's back with the Undisputed Kingdom, and he's back in the same role he was before, the lackey. Just no progression at all with the character. He's just back where he started from, somebody's lackey. And that, to me, I'm like, this is the reason why I'm like, as we talked about this on the last show, I said that this match is going to do him no favors, because we already know he's not, Samoa Joe is not dropping the championship at all. You're not dropping the championship to Wardlow, and one of two ways. It's like, he's going to get beat clean, or they can do a DQ smaz finish where he protects
him. Right.
They beat him clean.
I don't know why they did that.
And it just looks like to me that the guy just doesn't give a shit anymore. Like, he already sees what it is. I think Wardlow, and this is nothing against him personally. I got no problem with Wardlow at all. I'm Wardlow. I'm being an advocate for you, bro. I'm just telling you like it is. It's obvious to me you're getting played over there, and you're just there to collect the paycheck. You're just doing what they tell you. But I'm pretty sure you want to get the hell out of there, and that's what it is. And I'm pretty sure at this point, Wardlow, if WWE is not trying to get this guy when his contract expires, whenever that is, they would be foolish not to do that.
Very. The guy is every bit of a star, man. And
he's a WWE
man.
Guy.
Like, that's, why?
Just like Hobbs is a WWE guy.
But Lee, you Starks look at these.
Is a WWE,
yes, guy. You look at these guys and you're like, dude, you have stardom, right? Like, they did the same thing with Jade. You have stardom. You are getting rid of the future of your company. For what reason, bro? Like, look at these people. Ricky Starks is an absolute star. Powerhouse Hobbs is an absolute star. Wardlow is an absolute star. Don't let Jade. These people... Jade.
What do Jade, they all didn't even have
to, you didn't
common.
Have to do nothing with Jade. Just,
what do they all have in common, my friend? Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that there's terrible. A connection the there. Case. I'm not saying there's a connection there in all this. I'm just speculating. Because look at all the people that have been in AEW. that look like superstars. I mean, you got the Machine, Brian Cage.
He's another one.
Powerhouse Hobbs, as just mentioned. Ricky Starks, just mentioned. You have Wardlow, that we're talking about here. That's the principal of this conversation. You have all these different guys here, this group of talent that can actually work and actually can do their thing. And I'm looking at people like Nick Wayne and his mama on the show.
When you say it like that,
you wonder why I can't get with the brand. You wonder why I can't watch the show. You wonder why I can only watch segments of the show of people that I like, because I can't get with it. Because it's like I'm watching that show and it's amateur hour over there. And it shouldn't be amateur hour. You shouldn't be amateur hour when you have Okada on the show. Yes. You got Ospreay on the show. You got the Bucks on the show. I will give them this. All these guys. Go ahead.
The guys you did just name, like Okada, Ospreay, they featured these guys. The problem with that is, like, you're featuring them now, but you have guys like Ricky, Hobbs, Wardlow that have been there that you could have built up, and like by now these guys should be headlining right now. Like, Big Bill. They should be the card.
Big Bill, like, as well.
Yeah, Big Bill too. He's another one. Like, these guys should be those. That's your company right there. Like, that's your company.
Look at the way they have squandered the House of Black, Malakai Black.
That's another one. But there's no reason Brody King should not be. I'll give you another one, Lance Archer.
Oh, my God, dude. Lance Archer.
I have been begging, please give me. And they have a stable with Lance Archer, The Righteous, and Jake the Snake. That is absolute money. Why are they not on Dynamite?
They're on Ring of Honor.
Why are they not on Dynamite?
Because Nick Wayne is on Dynamite. And I'm not picking on Nick Wayne. I don't get the appeal of Nick Wayne. He doesn't have charisma out there.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not
into the show. Right. So that's the thing that killed me with him. Is they did the predictable heel turn and brought his mom into the show. And it's no different than when they brought, and I wasn't a fan of this either, when they brought Shelton Benjamin's mom onto the show. It did nothing for Shelton Benjamin. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. Same thing with him. It's too much too soon. That's just how it is for me. When you have established talents here, like the Lance Archers, the Righteous, Jake Roberts out there. You have all these different cats. You have, Brian Cage. Brian Cage should have been world champion by now.
By now.
I mean, what I'm saying?
Him and Wardlow should have had a feud by now. Him and Powerhouse Hobbs should have had a feud by now. There's no reason on God's green fucking earth Jay White should be in a trios championship for Ring of Honor. I'm sorry.
And, another person that, in my opinion, that they didn't do anything with, and I'm not sure why it was. Miro.
He's another one. That's another one. Like, the guy is TNT champion. He's probably, I'm going to say it, he's probably the best TNT champion they've had.
Dominant.
Was. That Redeemer gimmick was fucking money, bro. Money. The theme song was on point. I still like that theme song. Like, anytime he comes out, I'm like, man, he about to fuck somebody up. I love it. Why are we not doing anything with these guys? And somebody said this on a radio show. I forget who it was, but it's like the big guy for Tony Khan is like the small guy for Vince McMahon. Which that hit when I heard it. It's like, yeah, you're right, because the majority of the big men, you don't really see them a lot. And you have on that roster right now some of the greatest big men in the industry.
What was the WWF built on? It was built on
the giant, the land of the giants.
The land of the giants. It was built on big men. It was built on characters. Yep. But the medium-sized man, as Scott Hall would say, rest in peace, the Macho Mans, the Rickety Dragon Singing Boats, the Shawn Michaels, the Bret the Hitman Harts, those guys, Mr. Perfect, those were your workers. And they broke through. And it was all a collective here. You don't see that in AEW. You see AEW does one type of match, and they cater to one segment of the audience. Instead of catering to the entire universe. They cater to one segment. They cater to the one segment, and that's the hardcore segment that's going to watch their show every single week without fail, without any problem. And that is what separates them from the WWE. And that's why the WWE has grown their audience, because they are looking past just the hardcore. They go to the casuals. They want mainstream is what they go for. They, over at AEW, they are just booking the show for whatever Tony Khan likes. That's what they're doing. No different than
I hate saying it like that, but you got a point. Like, you really do have a point.
That's no different than what WWE was doing. For how many years was Vince McMahon booking the show?
You heard it all the time. You book for an audience of one.
Yep. And they don't do that anymore. They have a variety over at WWE now of what they're doing, and what they're doing, it works. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. I'm not saying that everything that they're doing is like money, because it's not. There's a lot of things over there that's wrong. I personally don't like the fact that they turned Bobby Lashley into Street Profits baby faces. I don't like that, because I think it hurt him bad.
Yeah.
That was wrong, because you're feuding with Karrion Kross and Aldis of Pain, what nobody gives a shit about. You brought the Aldis of Pain back, and you brought him back with Paul Ellering. That whole that group is back together again, and you're doing nothing with them. They're stuck here in limbo doing the same feud. You look at the LWO. The LWO, you know, we had this little discussion over in the group today. The LWO means nothing, okay? And it was always going to mean nothing. It is the only world order faction in the business that matters to this day. Starts with the N, okay? Yep. It's black and white. That's the only one that matters. Doesn't matter. The LWO was never a popular stable to begin with, okay? People can say, oh, that's bullshit. Go back and watch in WCW and tell me how popular the LWO was. It made no sense to me for Rey Mysterio from a character storyline perspective. It made no sense. And I have been watching this shit since 1989. It made no sense for Rey Mysterio to resurrect the faction that he didn't want to be a part of when it was originally in the WCW. So it made no sense for them to bring that back at all. If they were going to bring it back, the person that should have brought it back was Dominic Mysterio. That's who should have brought back the LWO.
Agree.
Okay, if they were to split it now and the LWO had focus in a direction, that would be Dominic Mysterio would have been leading the LWO. Dominic Mysterio would have been the one to have turned Santos against the group. And now you're in this ending, this going nowhere feud here that no one cares about. No one gives a shit about the LWO anymore. You don't see people wearing LWO shirts anymore in the audience like you were. It's back to what it was. NWO everywhere. Wolfpack everywhere. That's what you see in the audience, man. And WWE knows this. That's why if you go on WWEshop.com right now, so much NWO merch.
And it's going to sell.
It sells to this day. That's what people want. Sell. I'm sorry.
I guarantee you, WrestleMania weekend, you go to the pop-up WWE shop that they normally put up on the PLEs. You go to that shop. You go look at the merch that they have out. They're going to have a lot of NWO merch out there. And a lot of that shit is going to sell out.
Of course. They're going to have the chalk line there, because the NWO chalk line shit is massive. I got a couple of those jackets myself and a lot of stuff from them. So I'm just pointing out the obvious here. No one gives a shit about the LWO. And it's a shame, because the LWO has some talented workers in that faction, but no one cares about it. And another guy, when you talk about just squandering talent and just making sense, let's talk a little bit here for a second about Carlito and how they are doing nothing with Carlito, and they gave him this whack ass fucking garbage music, crap music. Okay, but I will say one positive when it comes to the direction of the music. The great one, The Rock, came out on.
Oh my God!
And it started with the regular "If You Smell What the Rock Is Cooking," they played it, and then it was a guitar riff solo, and in there it says "The Rock says," "The Rock says," and then it transitioned into the Hollywood Rock theme. That was cool, but I would get rid of the beginning part, and I would start off with the "Is Cooking." And then go
they did when he when once he did all the promo and stuff, they broke it down and they just let that be that. So I think that's what he's gonna come out with from now on. But
I don't think the lightning effect works very good either. I don't. I'm not a fan of that.
I love that.
I don't like it because it's just if they can time it right, if they can sequence it better,
they are getting there. They're getting there. And I think it's a good idea, new thing,
but it's just not there. But it could work now because it's a lot slower pace song. And obviously The Rock is paying attention. The Rock, like, listen, man, we need to change the music. What's the song we can use? Use the one I had when I was Hollywood Rock. Because essentially that's what he is now.
Because that's what people already call him. Yeah.
Correct.
People
already called him. That's what he's doing.
Yep. And he's listening. That's
why I'm positive. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's listening.
That's why I'm positive. And that's the funny thing that everybody was talking more about that than they were talking about Mercedes Moné's debut on Dynamite.
This is true.
Not knocking Mercedes.
Nope.
But that's just, it is what it is.
Nope. Speaking of which, I wanna transition into this last thing, right? Speaking of The Rock and Mercedes. The headlines. So I was looking at something very interesting today, and I want to share the screen so I can show you what I was actually looking at. And
you can't put porn on the show.
I'm not putting porn on the show. But no, I was looking on ESPN, and normally ESPN has a WWE section. Well, now they have a professional wrestling tab to where it's not just WWE anymore. And that is the effect that The Rock is having on this shit. Because
that terminology there, that professional wrestling.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
What did Rocky say? Professional wrestling is cool again.
It's cool again.
What did Cody Rhodes say? Wrestler.
Yep. It's now we're referring to it as professional wrestling. It's not just WWE. And if you look on ESPN on the professional wrestling tab, they've actually added AEW into there, which one of the biggest stories on that tab is the return of Mercedes Moné to AEW.
I think that's great. That is great for the entire industry.
It's amazing for the industry.
Absolutely.
It's amazing for the industry.
So when they say The Rock doesn't have, listen, The Rock has had a huge, because The Rock has made it mainstream. When you have The Rock come in from what he's done, and I was saying about The Rock, people can talk shit about The Rock all damn day long. The Rock, to me, The Rock never forgot what got him to where he is, what got him to the dance, and that was professional wrestling. He's come back and says, you know what? Fuck this sports entertainment shit. We're professional wrestlers.
Yep, get it right.
What is Hunter? What does Triple H say? Dude, we're wrestlers. We're wrestling. Triple H grew up on Harvey Race and Ric Flair. Triple H grew up on NWA. That's what Triple H watched.
Yep.
Okay. That whole sports entertainment thing, that was something Vince McMahon tried for years and years and years to get over, and it never got over. No one called it that. Nobody's walking around here saying, hey, did you see that sports entertainment show, that sports entertainment wrestling? No one saw it. It's called wrestling, bro. Professional wrestling. World Wrestling Federation. World Wrestling Entertainment. World Championship Wrestling. All Elite Wrestling. National Wrestling Alliance. Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. Impact Wrestling.
Yep.
Universal Wrestling Federation.
Call
That's
it
what it
is.
Was. You know what I'm saying? Now, no gimmicks podcast of wrestling.
But yeah, call it what it is. But
exactly
that, seeing that, I was like, okay, that is a gift that The Rock gave to the entire industry.
Absolutely. People say, oh, yo, The Rock's coming back to take our spots. Bro, Rock made
He just better. Did y'all the biggest solid.
He did it, exactly. He made it better. Because now you got so many people watching. Rock is getting so much traction on these Instagram videos that he's doing related to wrestling and calling it professional wrestling. Rock isn't going out there saying, I'm the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. He's not saying that.
Wrestling is cool again.
He even said with Brian Garris, he said it. He says, my evil wrestling writer. He didn't say my evil sports entertainer, right? He says my evil wrestling writer. It's wrestling. Ari Emanuel, it's wrestling. Netflix, it's wrestling. That's what it is. It's not sports entertainment. It is professional wrestling. That's what it is. That's what they call it. That's what I'm going to call it. When we first started doing this podcast, it was No Gimmicks, where we talk about professional wrestling and sports, because we had to differentiate the two. We were trying to differentiate from AEW to WWE. Now it's the No Gimmicks podcast, where we talk professional wrestling. And occasionally Star Wars. Oh, by the way, all the people out there listening, coming very soon here to the DFPN, the Rogue Scoundrels podcast. And if you liked what you heard in the beginning here, when we started this show tonight, that's a little sample of what you're going to be hearing on the Rogue Scoundrels podcast that's coming soon here to the DFPN. So stay tuned at that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, my good sir, final shots and thoughts, what you got?
Final thoughts are going to be this, bro. It's actually, we're going down to the bottom line here, for WrestleMania. And it's going to be very, very interesting, the outcome of that main event. I think that's what people are talking about. And I know Jimmy and Jay are going to wrestle at WrestleMania. I think they kind of made that official. But to be honest with you, I'm not really feeling that match at the moment. I don't know why. I think the build hasn't been very good. And I compare these things. I always go back in history books and I compare things. But the greatest brother match I ever saw was between Bret Hart and Owen Hart because of the build up to that and the
absolutely
story that, and the story that started at the 1993 Survivor Series when Owen got eliminated from the match and then him and Bret started that and then when they became a tag team champions and then they went to the Rumble and they fought the Quebecers and then. They lost the match and then Owen went in on Bret's knee. And then they had the match at WrestleMania 10. And then later on that night, after Owen beat Bret. And then later on that night, Bret wins the WWE Championship and all the wrestlers are in the ring celebrating. And there's one person looking like Owen, like, look at this motherfucker. I beat him earlier, but it doesn't mean nothing because now he's a WWF champion. Yep. That's a buildup. This here, this ain't been a buildup that I have enjoyed. It's, and I think the brand split kind of hurt it, to be honest, having them on two separate brands.
Yep. Yeah.
It took a lot. This feud right here, you would think because it's the first match that you're going to have between the Uso brothers in the history of that tag team. And it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have no heat going into it. No heat whatsoever. And a lot of that has hurt it, but I digress. We'll see where they go with this.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
My final thoughts. Go ahead.
I'm on the same wavelength. With you there. I kind of wanted them to build this earlier and build it, but the brand split obviously hurt them, having Jay on Raw and Jimmy on SmackDown. To make this work, you almost had to cross the lines, in which it didn't really hit as hard. So
no, because it's been going on since August.
Right. Right.
That's the problem. It's been going on since August. So the interest is just not there anymore. I mean, cost him the Intercontinental Championship. Fine. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, but once again, Gunther is a monster. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But at some point, they may have to turn Sami Zayn at some point because the reaction he got. But you don't have to necessarily turn everybody. You don't have to do
that. No, you don't. Only if it makes sense.
Correct.
Only if it makes sense. I agree with that. So,
but other than that, man, I got nothing else other than help control the pet population, have your pets spayed or neutered, and like what you like out there and watch what you want to watch. And people out there that don't like it, don't give a fuck.
I want to my final shots, I want to shout out to MPX Wrestling. Shout out to Demo Diamond. We interviewed him on the show last week. He actually won the MPX Addicts title this past weekend. Tatum Manning, who we also interviewed, he walked out with a win. He went up against TNA star Trey Miguel. Bangers on this card, man. They had a MPX Destiny this past weekend. A lot of people were there. Listen, for the professional wrestling is cool again. Like, this shit is no joke, man. It really is no joke. This venue had about 600 people in it. And this is a Saturday night. Like, it was filled. And they had to bring out chairs for people that were coming in the venue. So there is something to say about professional wrestling being cool again, that an indie show was filling up like this. You know what I'm saying? We didn't even get to the blood sport shit, the GCW shit with Shayna Baszler and WWE allowing her to do that WrestleMania week. Like, there's a lot of cool shit in the industry happening.
And she's going to be wrestling somebody from TNA.
Masha Slamovich. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's benefiting everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it.
Let me
bring up something real quick too that we didn't talk about, but I want to set the record straight about something. So you know, Sting's last match, you know, happened in you know, AEW, and one of the big things that controversies that people had was the fact that they weren't able to show any footage of Sting's career from WCW on AEW. And a lot of people were like, you know, that's bullshit and yada, yada, yada. They should have, you know, got the tapes, and they should be able to show that. Well, here's the thing about this. So, number one, WWE obviously owns the videos for WCW. They bought it. It's their property. Number two, from what I have heard, nobody from AEW ever contacted WWE about using said footage.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard about that. Real quick, though, before we sign off, I got to say this. This year's Hall of Fame class.
I know where you're going.
This class is shit. I'm just being honest. I'm just keeping it 1,000. This class is shit. Okay? No disrespect to anybody in it, but it's just... I'm not looking forward because I'm not the biggest Paul Heyman fan, so it's crap, and there is no headliners on this.
There, oh man,
the rumored Bray Wyatt induction most likely.
I don't think that's happening. With that being said, there was so many options that you had that you could have gone with, and you didn't. It's a letdown for me. It is a letdown for me. I will agree with you there.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. I'm probably gonna skip out on it.
And I want to watch it just for because I know Heyman's gonna have a good speech. If anything, Heyman's speech is gonna be good.
Yeah, I'm not a Heyman. I'm there guy. For that. I'm not a Heyman fan. Let's real quick. Why don't you let the listeners out there know, because we're running a poll right now on the greatest manager.
Greatest manager,
professional wrestler. So why don't you let the listeners know what's going on with that poll, man? Because it's been getting very, very interesting.
It did. So this one actually, this is one of the polls that actually went the way I thought it was gonna go. Normally these shits just they're wild. But this one actually went the way I thought it was going to go. Everybody that had, they were matched up with each other. It went the way I thought it would. People got washed. Some people were 100% to zero. But, and I'll announce it here tonight, the winner of that bracket with 52% of the vote, the 48%, in our finals was Bobby the Brain Heenan versus Paul Heyman, the winner of that bracket, and dubbed by the No Gimmicks Podcast fan group as the greatest manager ever, is Bobby the Brain Heenan.
With 50% of the vote. Absolutely. Yep.
And this was close, man.
It was very close. I voted in the poll, and I believe I voted for the Brain.
Yeah, I voted for the Brain too. Yep. Yeah, so did you.
I had to go with Bobby. So because it's just, I mean, yeah, I mean, Heyman managed some people, but Bobby the Brain, he managed. I mean, Bobby was a part of some great moments in the business. And, you know, I mean, him managing Andre in that match with Hulk Hogan, yep. And then managing Ravish and Rick Rude. Bobby took – see, this is what makes Bobby Heenan the greatest manager of all time. Bobby Heenan was not only a great manager, but Bobby Heenan was actually a great wrestler as well. And a fabulous bump taker.
Yep.
Great on commentary. Funny. His lines still live up to this day. The guy was a total package. Heyman never
said, listen to me, I'll take you to the top. Don't listen to me, you never heard from again.
Right. So, it was cool the way it went. And that's the thing about it. So, if you're not a member of the No Gimmicks fan group, you need to go on Facebook right now and look it up, No Gimmicks podcast fan group. Go on there. We have daily discussions about shit that we talk about.
Yep.
And also, just go on there. You can just become part of That Film and Podcast Network, period. And that will give you the links to all of our different podcast groups for the Smoke Pit, for the Queens of Nerdom, for the USDN. We're going to be once again launching the Rogue Scoundrels podcast. That's going to be hosted by your boy Frank D and the Black Mac here. So we got a lot of things coming down the pipeline here on the DFPN. And, that's pretty much it for tonight, man. I got nothing else here in this soliloquy in public.
That I have nothing else.
And don't forget to subscribe to the mothership, which is the Patreon for the No Gimmicks and the DFPN. $3 gets you unlimited access to everything in the DFPN catalog. And that means you get the No Gimmicks podcast before anybody else. You get the Queens of Nerd before anybody else. You get the USC game before anybody else. Everything that we do here on the DFPN, you can check it out right now for just $3 on patreon.com. So check it out. That's the mothership. And pretty much, I got nothing else to say.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it for the No Gimmicks podcast here on DFPN. It's your boy Frank D for the Black Mac. We're going to sign out. Like what you like, and people don't like it, don't give a fuck. Deuces.
Absolutely. Peace.
And I know it's all business, all business, all business. We give them no gimmick. Yeah. And I know it's all business, all business, all business. We give them no gimmick. Yeah. And I know it's all business, all business, all business. We give them no gimmicks.